I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Floods in Pakistan continue to devastate the country. Millions of Pakistanis now have no shelter or sanitation, and doctors in the worst affected areas seem overwhelmed. Today, the UN Refugee Agency issued a new warning for Shadadkot in the southern province of Sindh. Flood water there is pouring out of breaches and canals and threatens to submerge parts of the town. The BBC's Jill McGivering is in the Pakistani capital, Islamabad. Jill, you were in Shadadkot. So what was the situation like?
When I was there, it was really chaotic. I don't know if it's got any better now, but it sounds as if the embankment is starting to be breached. Then again, I suspect there will be quite a lot of panic there. The embankment is itself only about 3 or 4 feet above the road, and on the far side of it there is this vast sea of water where the River Indus has burst its banks. So across all that area, water as far as the eye can see, all you can tell that isn't water are little eddies and flows where roads or rooftops used to be, and occasionally a treetop sticking out above the waterline. Mm. So it is an incredible weight of water that is pressing on this mud and stone embankment, and basically that is the city's last defence against the water. If that breaches in a major way, then it's very likely the city will be flooded.
Now, President Asif Ali Zardari said today it will take at least 3 years for the country to recover. Does that seem realistic?
It certainly seems as though it would be at least that time. It is extraordinary travelling around to see how much of the infrastructure is damaged and, of course, how much of the country is affected by this. They're talking about something like a fifth of the country being underwater and, as you know, millions of people now affected. But where the waters are starting to recede in the more northern, northwest parts of the country, we're starting to get a sense of the extent of the damage, and it does look dramatic. I mean, roads, bridges, houses being swept away. So there are whole layers of need. There are going to be people who need immediate help right now. They need food, they need water, they need shelter. In the longer term, they're going to need help in terms of rebuilding their houses, in terms of getting their livestock replaced. Most of them, of course, now have lost their crops. And also, that's a tremendous problem for Pakistan as a whole in terms of the government spending. But there's also this issue that they depend on cotton and cotton-related products for about two-thirds of their exports. Now, the cotton crop was in the fields when the flood started. An awful lot of it now has been lost. So they're being hit every which way.
I mean, the government has to be counting on a great deal of patience on the part of the Pakistani people. I mean, they're facing dire life-changing conditions, and we're talking 20 million Pakistanis displaced into scenes of chaos and disaster. How much patience do you think they have?
People who are caught up in the throes of it, who are desperate, who are by the roadside with no shelter, their children are hungry, they don't have clean water, they're not sitting around discussing who's to blame. They are saying, you know, please help us. They're pleading. When you stop and go and talk to them, they are very emotional and very distressed, saying, please, have you come with aid? Can you help us? But there are other people who are saying, you know, maybe the government should have been better prepared. Maybe this is showing up weakness and the fact that this government really is quite ineffective.
And it was precisely the average person affected by this disaster on the side of the road that you encountered, a mother and a very new baby.
Yes, she had walked 60 kilometres, very heavily pregnant, just about to give birth. That in itself was extraordinary. Then she was by the roadside. She has no shelter. She was just sitting on a straw mat that someone had given her under a tree. And she gave birth 5 days before I met her to a little girl. That little girl, when I saw her on day five, well, she wasn't taking breast milk, so basically she was getting no nourishment at all. I then went across the road to try and find a medical camp and chat to some doctors there to say, is there anything you can do? Can you come and see this baby? Can you save its life? Because I really felt if they didn't, you know, it wasn't going to last much longer. And they said, look, we're overwhelmed. We're doing the best we can, but we're barely coping. There is so much need. But I found out later they did go back that evening. They did treat the little girl. And when I saw the mum again the next day and went to check up on how they were doing, I was delighted to see that not only was the little girl still alive, but she was looking much better, much more responsive and starting to feed. So I felt at least there was one story that gave me a little bit of hope. But it illustrates that if you get sick in this area, there is very little support for you at the moment.
The BBC's Jill McGivering in the Pakistani capital, Islamabad. Thank you so much, Jill.
Thank you.